Welcome to the Norris Group's Real Estate Radio Show. Hosted by author, investor, hard money lender, and real estate educator Bruce Norris. Equipping California real estate professionals for tomorrow's challenges.
Hi, this is Bruce Norris. Thanks for joining us. Once again, we're with Nick Manfredi. He's the owner of the Short Sale Processor and a fellow investor. Nick, once again, welcome.
I love being here.
What in your background attracted you to becoming an investor?
That's a great question. Because I'm a fairly conservative guy when it comes to investing and buying a house. It was that I got to walk around. I worked for a fantastic company, the First American Corporation, and I was a data guy. I went around and I spoke with brokers and appraisers. By far, my favorite group to talk to was real estate investors. So could you be a more blessed guy than to walk into Mike Cantu's office and be his data guy? Mike Cantu, for those who don't know, he's probably the best buyer in Southern California, maybe in all of California, and in my opinion. And I got to walk into their offices. I got to be the little data geek and open my book. They opened their books, and I got to see what they did with the data that I was providing them. And that allowed me to leverage with very, very little risk every real estate investment that I made. One is I had experienced people that I was their data geek. Number two was I had the data free to me, so I got to evaluate property and go ahead and send out letters and do all the fun stuff on a small scale at first before it really blew up.
Your background in sales, was that a big asset in becoming an investor?
It really was a big asset during that part of the market because you had to. I had to speak persuasively to the person on the line about what it is that they owned, and had to qualify, had to evaluate the property, and then present an offer that made sense to them and that they were willing to trade what I had. Whether it be cash or a loan through the Norris Group, believe it or not, what did they want to keep what they had? And so sales really did help out with that, with persuasion and evaluation and qualification.
And how did the investment club idea come to you, and when did that start?
In 1999, I committed that I was going to put that together. It took 2 years to actually put it all together, but I needed more experience before I went ahead and stood in front of 200 investors. And so I went ahead and continued to work and fail at being a real estate investor. But how did it really come about? The genesis of it came from I was a psychotherapist for a period of time, and I created cancer programs for the American Cancer Society. And I realized that I wasn't a cancer survivor, but I learned the different ways to that cancer can be treated extremely fast. I mean, I soaked that in because I was responsible for the dissemination of information. So if I wanted to replicate that and be a very good investor, I could replicate that in a real estate investment club, and I would focus all of my time on topics that I wanted to hear about in order to increase the rapidity of collecting information in this noodle that I call my brain.
So in a way, the club has benefited by you needing to learn at the same time maybe they did.
Absolutely.
Because if you were very experienced, you probably would not have had the wide range of people show up that you might have.
That's right.
Okay. How do your sales skills now come into play as you're now talking to owners that have no equity? That doesn't seem to be much of a challenge, but getting the other side to say yes must be where the skill comes in.
It is still a challenge. It is still sales because you have to qualify the person, and you know, you ask them tough questions like, you know, what's the remaining loan balance on the property? Well, you don't say, how much do you owe?
Correct.
You have the way that you ask questions, the way that – so there is a measure of sales, and then the reality is we do not go out and meet these homeowners at their home. One of the qualifiers is, will you get off of the chair that you're sitting in and come to the office and allow someone to work for free for you? Because if you won't get up, you're not going to show up at escrow when it's time to close.
Did you go through a learning curve to find out that that was important? Did you go out before and go to the homes and – deal with them directly?
No, I didn't. I knew that that would be a qualifier in and of itself. Some people are unhelpable, and I knew that, that there's a percentage of people are, that we would come in contact with where that would be the case. So right out the gates, I said, you need to come to our office. Okay. And frankly, I traveled to the East Coast to meet with other I didn't want to go to a seminar. I went and evaluated other short sale companies that were existing. They were already in existence in parts of the country that had a down market for the past 7-8 years. And these short sale companies existed. They exist in other parts of the country, even though we don't know about them in California. Mm-hmm. And I let them know who I was, that I make the study of success a priority in my life, and I would love to come and just look at what they've created. And I replicated much of what they had out there already. I mean, this isn't brand new. There's no new ideas in this.
When somebody is in a position where they're behind, what are the choices that they're getting in the mail? In other words, some suggestions that they might be looking at are maybe even illegal or would be detrimental to them. So what are some of the things they're looking at?
Some of them are saying, hey, and it's really a waste of money of the investor, but hey, we can buy your home for cash. And it's like, no, they owe far more than what the property's worth. That's, you know, unfortunate for the investor sending out all that money, you know, all that, you know, the mailers. Other ones might say, you know, hey, give us a call. We can solve your foreclosure problem. We can stop the foreclosure. Some of which is just a delay tactic that's more costly for the homeowner. And other ones, it is illegal, in my opinion, to take a deed on a property from a homeowner. In some states, that's not illegal. It's not illegal to take a deed over the counter, but in California it is. So there's lots of programs that are out there that are meant for a national scope that are suggesting take the deed over the counter and just don't go ahead and throw it to the recorder's office and you'll be fine. You know, there's an ethical issue there, and that's a problem.
Okay. So are some short sale companies charging people for their services?
I think they're trying. Okay. I think they're failing. They kind of have a business system that they had, you know, planned. And, you know, these people are, you know, hey, give us $300 and we'll run your short sale. I think that might be out there. I think that people see it for what it is, most likely a scam.
Okay. When somebody talks to you first time and you say, I'm going to do all this and we don't charge anything for it, mm-hmm. I would think there would be suspicion.
Yep, there absolutely is.
Okay. And that's why referrals are probably a real important part of the business?
Referrals, yeah. And then you need we throw some things on the internet that they can check out and see us. I encourage people to Google my name. And if there's some pretty nasty stuff out there, if there's things that we're doing that are illegal, it would pop up there. But fortunately, at this point, all of them are good things when you pop up my personal name. So, but it is. It is a challenge.
Are most of the people that you're dealing with already in foreclosure?
Yeah. Not all of them. Mm-hmm. But most of them are already by foreclosure. A notice of default has been filed. And then we know that there's a process that we can plug into that has a timeline of events, so we can better work that system. If there's no notice of default, you know, little funny things are happening right now within loss mitigation departments they're working on an emergency system. That is, there's a notice of trustee sale.
Right.
Okay, let's look at this one. So in other words, if you work with some of these, it might not be a good use of the short sale processor's time to work someone who, you know, the bank hasn't even done anything, hasn't even initiated the foreclosure.
What would be the ideal time frame for you to have to complete a short sale and also have the lender motivated during the whole process?
I would say to serve the lender properly as well, we need some time to market the property. I would say, you know, right at the point of notice of default, we'll work it sooner, but the lender has to get off their butt and realize that they're going to have to do something with this non-performing asset as well. It has to show up as a blip on their screen. Mm-hmm. And if it's not, it's kind of hard, you know, to talk to a loss mitigator who has a Gantt chart that they work through and have them say, doesn't even have a notice of default. I'm supposed to be focused on notice of trustee sales. It's just a system, and you got to plug into their system. You have to work by their rules.
Okay. We mentioned on the first show just briefly about the credit difference between a foreclosure and a settlement. Mm-hmm. What, do you have any idea what the damage is as far as differences?
I think that we'll only know in the next 3 to 4 years how bad that is, because I think that there's going to be some new regulations that come down the pipe that will require that information to be included, and then there's going to be different reserves maybe for those individuals, and therefore a higher interest rate. And all it may come down to at that point in time is have you had a foreclosure? Have you been foreclosed on? And that right there may cost individuals, but there's really not a set number. Like, am I going to go from, you know, 550 all the way down to 480 because of a foreclosure? I don't think there's a way to quantify that. And
okay, now what are some of the assurances people want when they're talking to you? So I'm in foreclosure, and I probably want a guarantee of some kind that this might work. And
yeah, and they're not going to get that.
Okay.
They're not going to get a guarantee that it will work, but they're going to get a guarantee that that we're going to have an agent who actually knows how to do a short sale, who is going ahead. What we really guarantee them is our system is designed for the maximum success rate, which means that we are searching for retail-type offers on your property. And the system is set up such that since we only get paid if there's a close, although you are an important person, Mr. and Mrs. Homeowner, your lender has a lot of control right now, and we're there to serve them as well in terms of getting the highest possible price for your home. Those things end up making them feel, if they can understand that, make them feel like, wow, this makes sense. And I also have to let them know, but let me be very direct, Mr. and Mrs. Homeowner, this is a business. So, you know, we are going to charge the lender, in essence, for our services. And so, you know, I think at the end we can't guarantee anything.
Right, because you're not in control of the final yes answer.
That's why the seminar is called Grab a Bucket that I'm putting together. It's raining short sales. A bucket, you know, isn't all that intelligent a collection tool. And you just got to let those short sales rain down into the bucket and catch what you can.
Okay. The lenders that are in this process now, has their attitude changed, let's say, in the last 3 months to their openness of saying yes to these?
If you take in the last eight months, it has dramatically changed. 8 months ago, what do you mean California prices are falling? To, okay, yeah, we know they're falling. And the BPO came here, the broker price opinion, the evaluation that we ordered, it came in at this price. How close can you come to that price? That's really where it's at right now. We're not getting near 8 months ago, we were getting, no way, we're not going to take a discount. We want full price back. Now they're focused in our interactions. They're focused on the BPO or the appraisal that came in. And even that's unfortunate. I'm always kind of bummed out when they ask for an appraisal. It's not a true valuation of what the property is right now because of the USPAP standards appraisers have to live by.
Which means what? That they're looking at comps?
They look at comps.
Yeah.
And if there's very few sales, then we've had properties that were worth $250,000. It appraised at $375,000. And unfortunately, that served the homeowner poorly, served the lender really poorly. And the only person that it served was the appraiser doing the appraisal.
Is the short sale business repetitive in nature in that you end up having multiple conversations with decision makers again and again to where they ultimately might feel comfortable with you?
Decision makers at the lender's office?
At the lender side, yes.
Yeah, you can build relationships with those loss mitigators, and we do at the short sale processor. But you do have, there is turnover within the companies.
But they have to go somewhere else usually, though.
Yeah, they do. And actually, one of the Chris Simmons, who is our senior vice president here at the short sale processor. Chris Simmons worked at Homecomings Financial first as a loss mitigator, then a loss mitigating supervisor, and he was promoted all the way up to REO manager. And it just so happens that he promoted people within Homecomings who are now heading up Chase's loss mitigation department. So those relationships, the way that they fan out, they do kind of puddle. I mean, I don't want to say puddle, you know, like the droplet puddle, mm-hmm. and how you see it ripple out. That does definitely occur.
Is there usually a broker price opinion in place when you have your first conversation, or has the lender gotten to that
Probably 50-50.
Okay. How early do they do it? I mean, obviously, they do it before they end up with the property.
They do it, and usually, sometimes, I've been to properties where I went to three BPOs, which was great. I love meeting the BPO agents, because the BPO agents often have REOs, and so they go on my list of, hey, send this out to these guys when the time's right to buy their REOs. I've met them. But sometimes there's an initial, whenever they're late and maybe at that point of NOD, there is a BPO done, sometimes a little earlier, but it's probably 50-50. And we want the most current, you know, BPO that we can get because of the rapidity of the price declines.
In the short sale package, are you usually asked to provide another BPO?
No, we okay. don't. But we do. We will provide them that, you know, by all means. But it's kind of like asking the they don't necessarily trust us.
It,
that is,
yeah.
The lender doesn't necessarily trust that. It's kind of like, you know, cat that ate the canary grin that shows up on her face. Sure, here it is, right here. That's what I would think if I was a lender too.
Okay,
they don't know us, and if we're ethical and honest,
there are levels of decision makers on their side.
Mm-hmm.
And your goal is to get to the person at the top, or is there a food chain that you have to inevitably go through?
We have great people at the short sale process, are great negotiators. And I've got just 2 weeks ago, we had a problem with a bank. I'm not going to say who it is, but a bank. And it was 100% of the market value. Actually, the purchase price, in my opinion, was more than what the value of the property was. And so one of our negotiators made it all the way up to the CEO's secretary, who isn't really a secretary.
Mm-hmm.
And 20 minutes later, we had the approval on our desk. That took 2.5 months to get to that point. But now we have the inside with this, and we're making a presentation at this bank, who's very close to Lehman Brothers, on how can we serve you? How best can we serve you? Here's what our thoughts are, because it was in their best interest to say yes months ago to this.
Mm-hmm. How much time do you have involved in each file, whether it works or not?
Personally?
Company-wise.
Company-wise, geez, it can be 15 hours or more on one.
Oh, well, that's less than I would have thought.
No, if you take averages.
Okay.
If you take averages, sometimes it can be, you know, 10. Sometimes I'm not including the realtor's time because they get paid for that. That's separate. They're not under my umbrella.
Right.
But it can be 15 hours. However, the way I set up my company is that not one person is spending 15 hours, hopefully, on any one deal. So I've got a person who is an initiator who goes ahead and meets with the homeowners, packages it up, sends it off to a processor, packages it up, who sends it off to a negotiator, who sends it off to the bank and negotiates it. So each of them, who are paid on commission, each of them only have a small amount of time, or a smaller amount of time than if they had to do it all. Me personally, the only thing I do anymore, this is all I do, is meet REO brokers. That's it. REO
okay.
brokers, sometimes they're appraisers. That's all I do. It's an hour and a half.
Okay. Now, when you say you meet the REO brokers, you don't want them to have this listing. You're just meeting them because why? You want the relationship.
I would love for them to have the listing because now I know them. I've got their card.
You're giving them the listing for...
I'm not giving them the listing. They've been ordered to come out and go ahead and do an evaluation on behalf of the bank.
Okay.
They may be getting the listing from the bank because they're doing the REO, and in which case, fantastic. Now I have your card. I've given you mine. I've shown credibility. I've shown ethics, and I've let you into the house despite the fact that often the homeowners aren't there.
Mm-hmm.
I got to meet you. And by the way, do you have any other REOs that you can send me? I'd love to present some offers on those.
Very good.
Quite a bit of synergy in the business.
Then the seminar that you're going to be talking about 2 days, let's talk about the individual days.
Mm-hmm.
Are they different standalone days as far as topics? Obviously, they connect, but what are the 2 days made up of?
Well, the first day is primarily, here's how the business system works. Here's the different roles that one can play if you're trying to do it all yourself, or if you're trying to work with a partner. Realtors are kind of famous for or well-known to go ahead and partner up. And one person might be a type B personality and another type A. And they work very well together. By the same token, that's more of what the first day is about. how to go ahead and separate this out. You better be doing what you're good at, and you better not be doing what you're not good at, or you'll never work what will constitute 90% of all transactions. That is starting with the short sale. In the next 12 months, 90% of all transactions will be forced transactions. That is, the homeowner only has the opportunity, or the homeowner that has to sell will be forced to sell because their only other option is a foreclosure. So the next... going ahead and taking that into consideration, what are the different roles, knowing what those roles are so you can separate it out and make the most of the opportunity. The second day is, now how do I make a machine do this? How do I collect the information that I have and separate out to where you get to where I'm happy to be right now, because it didn't start out this way, but where I'm at right now, which is I meet BPO agents. I meet REO agents and appraisers. That's all I want to do. Mm-hmm. And I want to focus on tinkering with the system so more people come in and I can serve more lenders and I can serve more homeowners.
So anyone taking that two-day training gets to adopt the system that you've struggled to get to.
Yeah. And you got a smile on your face there with, you're creating some competition there, Nick. Yeah. But you know what? I get a response rate I get a decent response rate of probably 2%. On marketing that we put out, that is on mailers, etc. There's other marketing that we do as well. I can't help every single homeowner in foreclosure. It's literally, you can't serve them all. And of the people who respond, only a certain amount can we help those individuals, because the property might be listed or for whatever disqualification reasons, we can't help them. But lots of other people can.
I was almost just, I know the price range and what you're going to charge, and it's, I wonder how much money you have in the learning experience.
I have a lot of money in the learning experience.
Education is always cheaper than the experience itself, isn't it?
You know, I got to say, when I looked at this and I simplified it, and no one made it this simple for me. And actually, I went across the country. I never ran into a company that was designed the way that I set my company up. That is to serve lenders and homeowners and trying to get a full retail price. All of the other short sale programs and companies that I'm aware of are seeking a lowball offer and seeking an approval on a lowball offer. And I knew that the numbers would be so vast in California that if I could set up a system like I have that makes money from a high offer supplied to the lender, that it would be a gold mine. And that's what we've set up. And the other benefit is, sure, we're going to get a lot of retail offers that are going to be approved, but down the road it evolves into a unique and powerful buying machine in and of itself. And I'm a wholesaler, so the reality is I'm going to create a buying machine from my short sale company, and then wholesale most of these properties out.
You do know our phone number, right?
Yes, I do. I do. I do.
Okay. How long do you think this short sale business, and that's what's unique, it's just sort of like the auction business. Mm-hmm. It has a lifespan, and then all of a sudden it disappears.
That's right.
And there's entire, decade before you go back to go, we're having a short sale. Mm-hmm. So what's the shelf life, you think, of this experience, you think?
At minimum, I will say 4 years.
4 years.
From February 2008, a minimum of 4 years. Because I think that there's with the market cycles, people say, how can that be? Market cycles in California, as you're well aware, are that seven-year cycle. Some people think that we're only one or year and a half into this. I think we're 2 years into this. Well, maybe 2.5 years into this market cycle. It's only showing up. That is, price declines are only really showing up, I would say, the past 8 months. But that was a restraint. And the reason it's happening so quickly is because the market price decreases were restrained because of the liar loans.
What's unique about this time, too, is that you do have a massive number and the highest percentage ever of have to sell inventory, whether the lender has it or the short sale company has it. Mm-hmm. It's a for sale to an audience that's half as big as the buying audience of 2004 and 2005. And they have to actually qualify. Mm-hmm. So the prices could get shockingly low.
Well, I'm going to be presenting I'm calling it Grandpa's Market Trough Formula.
Okay. And Nick, go ahead and give us your contact information again, please.
Sure. It is www.theshortsaleprocessor.com. That's theshortsaleprocessor.com.
And... Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Enjoyed
that was
it.
Fun.
And you know we'll be there. My son Greg is going to be there. I cannot because I'm teaching, but excited to know and learn a new toy. All right, Nick.
Fantastic.
Thanks.
You got it.
Right.
You've been listening to the Norris Group Real Estate Radio Show. For more information on the Norris Group, please visit www.thenorrisgroup.com.
Catch Bruce and the Norris Group team March 30th in San Francisco as Bruce teaches his California-only Essentials course live in association with the Global Real Estate Investment Club. Visit www.thenorrisgroup.com or call 951-780-5856 today for more information on this event. And Northern and Southern California REO boot camps coming up in April.